Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Wednesday, January 26, 2022. Coming up this hour,
futures rise following another roller coaster session on Wall Street.
Microsoft shares rebound on optimism over the company's cloud business.
Up next, it's all about the Fed as the central bank issues a policy decision today.
And President Biden says he has no intention of putting American troops in Ukraine.
The second NYPD officer ambushed Friday has died. Plus, there's confusion after a higher New York court reversed a ruling banning mask mandates. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm John Stashower in sports. The Nets lost to the Lakers, a win for the Islanders. The Devils lost, and David Ortiz voted into the Baseball Hall of Fame.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak on Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
And good morning. I'm Karen Moscow.
I'm Nathan Hager. Bloomberg Daybreak is brought to you by SEI. Imagine your asset management firm's operational infrastructure as a competitive advantage. Let SEI show you how at seic.com/IMS.
And U.S. futures rebounding this morning. 6:01 on Wall Street. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures up 63 points. Dow futures up 368. NASDAQ futures up 297. And the 10-year Treasury down 4/32, yield 1.78%. Nathan.
Well, Karen, this morning's rebound comes after another roller coaster ride for stocks yesterday. Let's get the details live from Bloomberg's John Tucker. John?
And Nathan, the S&P 500 closed at the lowest level since October. Technology shares were the biggest losers yesterday. Dip buyers did resurface near the end of the day, but that wasn't enough to stop the S&P 500 from posting a 1.2% loss. The index just shy of a correction, closing more than 9% off its record high from 3 weeks ago. So where do we go from here? Strategists from Goldman Sachs to Citigroup say now is the time to jump in. Goldman strategists say any further weakness should be seen as a buying opportunity. Citi strategists say their bear market checklist suggests it's time to buy the dip. Live in New York, I'm John Tucker, Bloomberg Daybreak.
John, thank you. The volatility continued after hours with the release of Microsoft earnings. Right now, shares are up 4% in early trading, and we get more from Bloomberg's Doug Krisner.
The company reported after the bell, and the focus was on the Azure cloud computing business. For the last quarter, revenue at the unit decelerated from the two prior quarters, and that weakened Microsoft shares in late trading. But then, on the call with analysts, the company said the Azure sales growth rate would pick up in the current quarter, excluding the impact of currency fluctuations. Shares then recovered. Microsoft CEO Satya Nadella has turned the Azure business into a solid number two behind Amazon. Alphabet's Google ranks third, but it's adding resources to catch up. In New York, I'm Doug Krisner, Bloomberg Daybreak.
And Doug, shares of Texas Instruments are up nearly 4% in early trading. The chipmaker beat earnings estimates and gave an upbeat forecast. Up next, earnings continue with about three dozen companies reporting today, including Tesla. We get more on the electric car maker from Bloomberg's Tom Busby.
The big focus will be margins and how many vehicles it expects to sell this year. That's after Tesla ramped up production in a big way in 2021 at its Fremont, California plant, also its facilities in Shanghai. It also expanded into Austin, Texas, where it's now headquartered, and into Germany. Also of interest, the latest on its long-awaited Cybertruck. Tom Busby, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Tom, thank you. Well, outside of earnings, today's key event for markets comes this afternoon. We get a highly anticipated policy decision from the Fed at 2 p.m., and Bloomberg's Michael McKee has more.
Fed officials aren't going to be raising the cost of borrowing at this meeting. Instead, they'll suggest interest rates will be going up soon. The Fed's current target rate is essentially zero. Policymakers will try to figure out how much it has to go up in order to bring inflation down to their 2% target, but don't expect them to publish a roadmap to how fast and how far rates will move and when and how and by how much the balance sheet will shrink. Expect Chair Jay Powell to say that with geopolitical tensions, supply chain problems, and the COVID virus ever present, the Fed will have to remain flexible, deciding policy on a meeting-by-meeting basis. Michael McKee, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thanks, Michael. Here's the Fed does have a tough road ahead. That's according to Nobel laureate and economist Paul Krugman, who says the central bank needs to slow down the economy but can't move too quickly on rates.
It sure looks as if the economy has hit the speed limit. But that's a call for taking your foot off the gas pedal. It's not a call for slamming on the brakes. And so what they want to do then, it's the balancing act. How do they sort of, you know, get us to level off, to slow down a little bit without throwing us into a recession?
Nobel laureate Paul Krugman made the comments in an interview on Bloomberg Television. Stay tuned for live coverage of today's Fed decision on a special edition of Bloomberg Surveillance. It starts at 1:30 p.m. Wall Street time on Bloomberg Radio and Television.
Geopolitics also near the top of today's agenda, Nathan, as tensions continue to simmer with Russia and Ukraine. President Biden is indicating there is no plan to send U.S. troops into the country, and Bloomberg's Ed Baxter has the story.
President Biden says he may move troops around and closer to Ukraine to be prepared for any eventuality, but
we have no intention of putting American forces or NATO forces in Ukraine. But as I said, there are going to be serious economic consequences if he moves.
Biden also says Russia, he believes, understands how much of an enormous deal this is globally, and says if Russia invades, he would favor personal sanctions on Vladimir Putin. In San Francisco, I'm Ed Baxter, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thanks, Ed. And back on Wall Street today, there's a fresh push to retain talent. Bank of America is out with a new plan to keep its employees. And we get the details live from Bloomberg's Renita Young. Good morning, Renita.
Good morning, Nathan. Bank of America is giving almost all of its employees their share of a $1 billion stock award. It goes to staff making as much as $500,000 a year. That makes about 97% of Bank of America's global workforce available. CEO Brian Moynihan says each eligible employee will receive between 65 and 600 restricted stock units based on compensation. They'll get the full value in March, and shares will vest in equal payments over 4 years, starting in 2023. It's the bank's latest move as competition heats up to attract and retain top talent. Live in New York, I'm Renita Young, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Renita, thanks. Futures are heating up. S&P futures up 64 points. Dow futures up 360. NASDAQ futures leading the gains this morning, up 307 points, or nearly 2.2%. The 10-year Treasury is down 5/32. The yield 1.78% on this Fed decision day. Straight ahead, your latest local headlines, plus a check of sports. This is Bloomberg. It's 6:07 on Wall Street. It's cold in Central Park, 22 degrees. Delays stacking up on the Harlem River Drive FDR combo thanks to a broken down vehicle. Details coming up in traffic. First, Michael Barr with more on what's going on in New York and around the world. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Nathan. Flags are flying at half staff in New York City after a police officer gravely wounded last week in a Harlem shooting that killed his partner has also died of his injuries. Officer Wilbert Moore was taken off life support at a Manhattan hospital 4 days after a gunman shot him and Officer Jason Rivera as they responded to a domestic disturbance call. Rivera died Friday. Moore's family decided to donate his organs just hours after he died. Leonard Aitchen is president and CEO of Live On NY, responsible for organ donations for all of New York City.
Their son became a NYPD police officer to serve and protect and save lives. And they knew that that was true in his life, and they knew that he would want in his death to be able to save lives.
Agent with Live On NY says people will have a second chance of life thanks to Officer Mora. Chances are rising. A powerful storm will sweep the Northeast in the U.S. With more on its impact on New York and New Jersey, here's Bloomberg meteorologist Rob Carolyn.
Michael, we're going to be keeping an eye out for a storm system for late Friday into Saturday across the tri-state area. It's going to be a coastal storm developing off of North Carolina. What's up in the air right now is the track of the storm. How close does it come to the coast? Right now, the models are suggesting a track that may be too far to the east to dump a major storm across the city. It looks like snowfall amounts could be on the lighter side. But again, that still is very much up in the air, and we'll have more details on the track of the storm and how much we may get later in the week. Michael?
Rob, thank you, sir. An appeals judge restored New York's mask mandate yesterday after a judge in the lower court Monday ruled that Governor Kathy Hochul's administration lacked the constitutional authority to order people to wear face coverings during the COVID-19 pandemic. As of now, the statewide mandate is only set to be in place until February 1st. Meanwhile, New York State has seen an 86% decrease in COVID cases since its January 7th peak. Governor Hochul says, though, deaths and hospitalizations remain elevated.
2 weeks ago, we had over 12,000, almost 13,000 people hospitalized. Now we're down to 9,800. So it's still high, but we're also still losing our friends and family and our loved ones. 158 people we lost.
Governor Hochul. Hoboken residents rejected a $241 million bond measure to build a new high school in a special election yesterday. At last count, the bond failed 66% to 34%. Global News, 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Okay, Michael, thanks. Just about 6:10 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg Sports Update with John Stanshauer.
Nathan, the Nets have issues right now. Kevin Durant is injured. Kyrie Irving can't play home games. And a report that James Harden doesn't like living in Brooklyn and will opt out and explore signing with a different team as a free agent next summer. Nets lost at Barclays, where they are just 12-12, beaten by the Lakers, who came in under 500. 106-96, LeBron James scored 33 points. So did Harden. He had a triple-double. The Knicks play tonight in Miami. The Islanders, after the slow start, have won 7 of 9. They've moved over 500. They beat the hapless Flyers 4-3 on a Zach Parise goal. The Devils have lost 5 of 6, beaten at home by Dallas 5-1. College hoops, Iona won again. The Gales are 17-3. Rutgers and Fordham both lost. Australian Open, there'll be an American in each of tomorrow's women's semifinal matches. Madison Keys will play Ash Barty, and Danielle Collins will take on Iga Swiatek. Her quarterfinal win took 3 hours in 97-degree heat. Daniil Medvedev playing now. He has lost the first two sets to Felix Auger-Aliassime. A phone call placed to the Dominican Republic.
This is David Ortiz.
Hello, David. This is Jack O'Connell with the Baseball Writers Association of America. I'm calling you from Cooperstown, New York, to let you know that the Baseball Writers have elected you to the National Baseball Hall of Fame.
Yeah! The copy voted in on the first ballot, while Barry Bonds, Roger Clemens, and Curt Schilling all fell short in their final year on the ballot. Sean Payton resigned after 16 years as coach of the New Orleans Saints. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports. Nathan?
Okay, John, thank you. Right now, S&P futures are up 59 points. Dow futures up 333. NASDAQ futures up 292 points. Equity futures solidly in the green on this Fed decision day. This is Bloomberg. Bloomberg 1130 weather, sunny but chilly today, upper 20s for highs. Will be near 30 tomorrow, and a chance for afternoon snow showers or flurries on Friday. Low 30s for highs to end the week. Currently 22 in Central Park.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. This update's brought to you by Interactive Brokers Global Analyst. Global Analyst helps you find new global investment opportunities to diversify your portfolio and discover undervalued companies. Try Global Analyst today at ibkr.com/GA. U.S. stock index futures on the rise this morning, along with European shares, ahead of a Federal Reserve decision on which officials are expected to signal plans for tightening policy. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures up 62 points, Dow futures up 346, and NASDAQ futures up 313, or 2.2%. The DAX in Germany is up 2.2% as well. The 10-year Treasury down 4/32, yield 1.78%. Yield on the 2-year, 1.03%. NYMEX crude oil is up 0.6% or 50 cents at $86.11 a barrel. COMEX gold down 0.4% or $7.90 at $18.47.30 an ounce. The euro, 1.1281 against the dollar. British pound, 1.3517. The yen's at 114.16, and Bitcoin's moving higher at $37,800. And we are getting earnings this morning. We heard from Anthem. It reported fourth quarter profit that beat analyst estimates. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, thank you very much. Fearful of a Russian invasion into Ukraine, the U.S. and NATO allies are ramping up efforts for a diplomatic solution. Today, France will hold a high-level meeting aiming to ease tensions between the two countries. But President Biden is warning the 8,500 U.S. troops on standby to Europe could be deployed sooner than later. Russia denies it plans to invade Ukraine. In the NBA, the Nets and Wizards lost. The Celtics and Warriors won. In the NHL, the Islanders won. The Devils lost. Red Sox great David Ortiz was elected to the Baseball Hall of Fame in his first turn on the ballot. Steroid-tainted stars Barry Bonds and Roger Clemens were denied entry to Cooperstown in their final year under consideration by the Baseball Writers Association of America. Global news 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Okay, Michael, thanks for coming up to 620 on Wall Street Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak. As we continue to watch these markets on Fed Decision Day, we're joined by Jeffrey Yu this morning, senior strategist at BNY Mellon. Jeff, it's great to have you back with us as we watch this bounce back in futures contracts this morning. Do you think this market's found bottom?
I think the market is still in a state of waiting. The fact that the risk negative indicators have not increased, such as real rates and the geopolitical stuff, I think that's just a reason for markets to stabilize to some extent. But the proof is going to be in the pudding. We'll find out what happens after Fed tonight.
Yeah, certainly will. 2 p.m. Wall Street time, we get that decision from the Federal Open Market Committee. But we've heard from a number of strategists, including Goldman Sachs, Citigroup, saying now's the time to buy back in. What about that?
I think you need to look at it on a global basis. And overall, in the U.S. and within developed markets, we still believe, has the best earnings potential and best growth potential. And we think growth is going to surprise to the upside, relative to expectations, and that will translate into upside and surprises for earnings as well, pending real rates, and of course, among the factors. CPI is higher in the U.S., and that allows companies to pass on higher input costs. And due to relative energy independence in the U.S., is less constrained by the factors affecting Europe from right now. But elsewhere, if you look at Asia, for example, there's still pretty much a catch-up trade happening. The fact that Chinese authorities have to, through their official papers, come out and essentially ask domestic and global investors to start buying Shanghai stock tells you how concerned they are about the situation.
Does all that have you underweighting U.S. stocks at this point? What are you advising in terms of global positioning?
That's always a tricky situation. Looking at our flow indicators right now, what we've seen is, especially given you mentioned global positioning, we've seen a lot of cross-border selling of U.S. equities. So international investors, they are overall underweighting their U.S. exposure right now. So if we are right in terms of U.S. growth and surprising to the upside and earnings surprising to the upside, we think recovery flow should then come in. Europe is, of course, somewhere in between them right now. And the dollar, bearing in mind, doesn't impact U.S. earnings as much as the euro does for Eurozone and the yen for Japan. So yes, U.S. is in a better place. But elsewhere, we just look at the growth trajectory. The margin pressure I mentioned earlier, less so on the U.S., much more unfavorable for Europe. They really need to get their supply issues resolved.
What ultimately do you think has been driving the volatility this week, the wild swings we've seen early in the sessions, chances for recovery late in the U.S. trading day? Is it just pricing in what the Fed's going to do? Is it geopolitics? Is it something else?
So real rates is still what we have been focusing on. So yes, the Fed, it is to some extent pricing in what the Fed is going to do. But market's always concerned that the Fed is going to do beyond even what's already priced. That always is the concern. So I'd rather, so the market's saying, let's sell first, ask questions later. But I think now we're coalescing around a consensus that at these valuations, the Fed cannot surprise further towards the upside. Issues like 50 basis points in hikes or selling assets to unwind the balance sheet. A lot of noise around that last week. Geopolitics didn't help. I think that pushed things a bit excessively, and now we're retracing some of that. But still, let's see what the communication is today.
Interesting. So you're not looking for any further volatility on the back of whatever Chairman Powell has to say later today? We've got about a minute left here, Jeff.
I think relative to what we've seen over the last 48 hours, that perhaps will mark the peak in volatility, because we don't think that Chairman Powell can further surprise them to the upside. If we're wrong on that, then I think market will need to brace them for further adjustment, especially within real rates. Other flow indicators we're looking at, corporate spreads, for example, will that start to get infected? We don't think so either. Sufficiently, we have seen things being priced in as well. So I think actually we will start to shift away from the Fed and look at where geopolitics takes us, and then get back to resolving the supply issues, which is keeping inflation high.
It sounds like there could be more turbulence ahead. Is that your call?
So a net-net, the current drivers, we do think the last 48 hours won't be repeated. But it doesn't mean suddenly it's fine and dandy and we're going to go back to status quo and up, 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 and up again. So it's still going to be a period of volatility, just not an increase in the volatility.
All right, Jeff, as always, thanks for your insights. Jeffrey Yu is senior strategist at BNY Mellon. Ahead of the Fed decision today, 2 p.m. Wall Street time, Chairman Powell's conference at 2:30. We will have full coverage on a special edition of Bloomberg Surveillance starting at 1:30 this afternoon, Wall Street time. You can catch it here on Bloomberg Radio. Watch it on Bloomberg Television. We are wherever you are with Bloomberg. Stay with us for full Fed coverage. Ahead of it, S&P futures up 60 points. Dow futures up 341. NASDAQ futures up 294 points. The 10-year Treasury right now down 430 seconds. The yield, 1.78%. This is Bloomberg. Bloomberg 11:30 weather. Sunny upper 20s today. Sunny near 30 tomorrow. Chance of snow Friday into Saturday. Low 30s on Friday. Right now, 22 in Central Park.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York. Bloomberg 1130. To Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 991. To Boston, Bloomberg 1061. To San Francisco, Bloomberg 960. To the country, Sirius XM Channel 119. And around the globe, the Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
It's 6:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. We're just about 3 hours away from the open of U.S. trading. Time for the five things you need to know to start your day. Brought to you by Interactive Brokers. IBKR charges margin loan rates from 0.75% to 1.59%, rates subject to change. Learn more at IBKR.com/compare. Up first, U.S. futures higher following another roller coaster ride on Wall Street. We get the details live with Bloomberg's John Tucker. John.
And Karen, S&P futures right now up 1.3%, but global stocks still on course for their worst month since the start of the pandemic. The S&P 500 is heading for its worst January on record after yesterday's 1.2% decline. The Nasdaq composite yesterday fell 2.3%, but there are signs the sell-off could ease. Wall Street's fear gauge, the VIX, fell from a one-year high, snapping 6 days of gains. And now strategists from Goldman Sachs to Citigroup say it's time to buy. Live in New York, I'm John Tucker, Bloomberg Daybreak.
And John, it's been a roller coaster ride for Microsoft investors as well. After the bell, the stock fell 6% on a revenue decline from its cloud computing business. But on the conference call, executives said the Azure business can still drive growth. Right now, Microsoft shares are up nearly 4% this morning.
And shares of Texas Instruments also up 4% in early trading, Nathan. The chipmaker's earnings and forecast beat estimates. Up next, we get results from about three dozen companies, including Tesla.
Well, outside earnings, Karen, of course, the big agenda item today is the Fed. The central bank has a policy decision and is expected to signal a March rate hike. We get more from Bloomberg's Vinny Del Giudice.
Bloomberg Economics says the Fed's goal is telegraphing a March rate increase, as well as a balance sheet runoff in the aftermath of the COVID-19 economic rescue. Look for the central bank to do so cautiously, noting uncertainty and downside risks to the economic outlook, given the impact of the Omicron wave and whatever may lie next for the coronavirus. Vinny Del Giudice, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Vinny, thank you. On Wall Street today, there's a fresh push to retain talent, this time from Bank of America. We get the details live from Bloomberg's Renita Young. Good morning, Renita.
Good morning, Karen. Bank of America is giving almost all of its employees their share of a $1 billion stock award. It goes to staff making as much as $500,000 a year. That makes about 97% of Bank of America's global workforce eligible. CEO Brian Moynihan says each eligible employee will receive between 65 and 600 restricted stock units based on compensation. They'll get the full value in March, and shares will vest in equal payments over 4 years. Live in New York, I'm Renita Young, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Renita, thank you. And that's the five things you need to know to start your day, brought to you by Interactive Brokers. We have our top local news straight ahead.
Now we do, Karen. Thank you. 6:33 on Wall Street, 22 degrees in Central Park as we look out for a nor'easter by the end of the week. We'll get details on that shortly. First, Michael Barr with what else is going on in New York and around the world. Michael.
Thank you very much, Nathan. President Joe Biden said he would consider personally sanctioning Vladimir Putin if he orders an invasion of Ukraine, escalating the U.S. effort to deter the Russian leader from war. President Biden told reporters that there will be action should Russia decide to escalate things.
Not only in terms of economic consequences and political consequences, but it will be enormous consequences worldwide. This would be the largest, if he were to move in with all those forces, it would be the largest invasion since World War II.
Russia denies it has any intention of an invasion. Tributes are pouring in for fallen NYPD officer Wilbert Mora. He died yesterday, the second NYPD officer to die in Friday's Harlem shooting. The 27-year-old's organs were donated just hours after he died. Leonard Achin is president and CEO of Live on NY, Live on NY, responsible for organ donations for all of New York City.
And such a tragic, tragic story for New York. But people will have a second chance of life thanks to the generosity of the Mora family and Officer Mora.
Leonard Achin is president and CEO of Live on NY. An appeals judge restored New York's mask mandate yesterday, a day after a judge in a lower court ruled that Governor Kathy Hochul's administration lacked the constitutional authority to order people to wear face coverings during the COVID-19 pandemic. The mask ruling is back in place while the governor's administration pursues an appeal. All of this may be creating confusion for students in schools and people in public places as to what to do, like this woman.
You know, it's a very complex situation, and I try to just be respectful of other people if they choose something different than I've chosen, because they do have a right to choose.
Some state school districts, particularly in Republican-dominated areas, rushed to make masks optional for students and teachers, but state education officials told administrators they should continue enforcing the mask mandate. The chances are rising a powerful storm will sweep the Northeast late Friday into Saturday, bringing heavy snow, rain, and winds. It could potentially disrupt air, rail, and road transportation as far south as New York and New Jersey. Hoboken residents turned thumbs down on a $241 million bond measure to build a new high school in a special election Tuesday. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts from more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
All right, Michael, thanks. 6:36 on Wall Street. John Stashower is here with the Bloomberg Sports Update.
Thanks, Nathan. There had been a debate over whether David Ortiz would make it to the Hall of Fame. He rarely played in the field. He was an average hitter his first six seasons in Minnesota, and he reportedly once failed a test for PEDs. But Big Papi ends up getting voted in on the first ballot in 14 years in Boston. Five times he finished in the top five in MVP voting. Hit 541 home runs and 17 more in the postseason. No one else got in. Barry Bonds, Roger Clemens, Curt Schilling all fell short in their final year on the ballot. Bonds and Clemens due to PED. Schilling got 71% last year and then said he didn't want the writers to vote him in, so they didn't. He dropped to 59%. Nets lost to the Lakers at Barclays 106-96. LeBron James scored 33 points. So did James Harden. He had a triple-double, but not much help. At the UBS Arena, Islanders and Flyers, 3-3 in the third.
One last rush for the Islanders. 9 seconds of the man advantage. Brock Nelson over the Flyer line. Down the slot for Mavillier. DeBrisi shoots. He's gone! Boom! Sets up Zach. He fires it home. It's 4-3 Isles with just over 8 minutes to go.
This game, WEPN, the 4-3 win moves the Islanders over 500 while the Flyers have now lost 13 in a row. Devils lost to Dallas 5-1. American Danielle Collins has reached the semifinals. The Australian Open, Stefano Tsitsipas into the men's semis. Upset brewing now. Daniil Medvedev down two sets to the Canadian Felix Auger-Aliassime. The third set is in a tiebreaker. Busy week for new Giants GM Joe Shane. He's already interviewed Dan Quinn and Brian Daboll for the coaching job. Patrick Graham today, Brian Flores tomorrow. The Saints, for the first time since 2006, need a new coach. Sean Payton resigned. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports. Nathan?
All right, John, thanks. Almost 6:38 on Wall Street. Time to take a look at stocks. Some of the names moving in the pre-market. Bloomberg Radio and TV Markets correspondent Kriti Gupta is with us. It's all about earnings this morning, Kriti.
100%. We have to talk about Microsoft because, Nathan, this is a wild story to me. Of course, we know Microsoft reported earnings last night. They did actually top their estimates, $50 billion in terms of quarterly sales. So good news for Microsoft. But the real focus was on their Azure cloud computing services. Those were actually increasing 46% this past quarter. Now, the stock was actually down 5% in post-market last night. A lot of that was under concerns that it wasn't hitting 50% sales growth, which it has in the past two quarters. But this morning, Nathan, MSFT is your ticker. Those shares are up 4% in the pre-market. Now, a lot of folks are saying this is because their investors on the street, analysts alike, are actually very optimistic about the growth in that cloud computing business. So we're going to have to see if those gains hold through the open. But, Nathan, it's fascinating to me that the shares shares actually got punished last night for a 46% rise in sales growth.
Yeah, we got quite the roller coaster ride mirroring the overall market. That's not all we're looking at in tech this morning, is it?
It's not. We also have Intel. Intel is actually reporting after the bell, but you also have them winning a historic victory in the fight in the European Union courts over a record $1.06 billion European antitrust fine. That's $1.2 billion. Now, this comes after the EU General Court ruled on Wednesday that EU regulators made errors when they slapped Intel with a penalty for allegedly squeezing out rival AMD. Now, of course, getting that $1.2 billion back. INTC is your ticker, up 1.6%. But Nathan, once again, they are also reporting after the bell, along with Tesla. So definitely keep an eye on both of those shares. Moving on and sticking with chip makers, though, Texas Instruments, TXN, is your ticker, up just shy of 5% after the chip maker gave a first quarter forecast that was way stronger than expected, analysts noting the company's conservatism amid a still supportive demand backdrop. So good news in the chip maker space this morning.
All right. Bloomberg Radio TV markets correspondent Kriti Gupta with us, as always, in the pre-market. And just passing along some earnings that just crossed the Bloomberg terminal. AT&T out with fourth quarter results that topped analyst expectations, giving investors perhaps less reason to worry over free phone promotions and mounting costs of 5G. AT&T shares right now up 1.3% in early trading. As for the broader market, it's on the rise. S&P futures up 65 points. Dow futures up 372. NASDAQ futures a gain of 317 points, leading the gains up 2.25% in the tech-heavy futures. 10-year Treasury down 4/32nds now. The yield 1.78% on this Fed decision day. Stay with us. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. Bloomberg 11:30 weather, bracing for a late week nor'easter today. Lots of sunshine, upper 20s, near 30 tomorrow. Those showers arrive Friday night, last into Saturday. Snow showers we're talking about, of course.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. Futures are jumping this morning. We have the first word breaking news desk for today's morning call. And here's Bill Maloney. Bill, good morning.
And good morning, Karen. That's right. U.S. futures are surging right now, with Dow futures currently up 364 points. The S&P's gained 64, while the NASDAQ futures are higher by 303. The U.S. 10-year yield at 1.78%. Gold is down 3. Oil is trading higher. And Bitcoin is climbing by 4%. European markets are also in the green, led by 2% gains in France, Germany, and Italy. And back in the U.S. on the economic front, at 10 o'clock, new home sales, and at 2 o'clock, the FOMC rate decision. After the bell last night, Texas Instruments gave an upbeat forecast, and Microsoft reported is trading higher by 4% in the pre-market. Regarding earnings this morning, AT&T beat on revenue. And in other news, Facebook is said to be weighing a sale of its crypto project. Wrapping things up, J.B. Hunt was raised to overweight at Barclays. Moderna raised to hold over at Deutsche Bank. DraftKings raised to overweight at Morgan Stanley. And Verizon was cut to neutral over at J.P. Morgan. Live from the First of Breaking News Desk, I'm Bill Maloney. Care?
All right, Bill, thank you. To hear live breaking news over your Bloomberg, type squawk on your terminal, S-Q-U-A-W-K. And that's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, thank you very much. The U.S. and NATO are increasing military commitments to the Baltics and Eastern Europe as fears over Russia invading Ukraine continue to rise. Denmark, France, and Spain are all sending or offering to send military assistance to various parts of the continent. Meanwhile, European negotiators meet in Paris today. Russia denies it has any intention to invade, even though 100,000 of its troops are at Ukraine's border. In the NBA, the Nets and Wizards lost. The Celtics and Warriors won. In the NHL, the Islanders won. The Devils lost. Red Sox great David Ortiz was elected to the Baseball Hall of Fame in his first turn on the ballot. Steroid-tainted stars Barry Bonds and Roger Clemens were denied entry to Cooperstown in their final year under consideration by the Baseball Writers Association of America. Global news 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg.
The following commentary is from Bloomberg Opinion.
The simpler version of GE still requires a manual and a compass on earnings day. I'm Brooke Sutherland, a columnist for Bloomberg Opinion. The industrial giant on Tuesday announced its first set of quarterly results since completing the sale of its aircraft leasing business. That divestiture meaningfully shrank the size of GE Capital, a former financial behemoth whose varied interests almost sunk the company twice. As such, GE now gives numbers on a consolidated basis. This is supposed to make the company easier to understand. In practice, the transition made the task of deciphering GE's earnings materials even more Herculean than usual. In many ways, this is a temporary problem. Change is hard, particularly when the company in question is a 130-year-old giant. GE announced in November that it would split itself into three companies. But there are some mysteries that GE's unwind doesn't quite solve. The divergence between GE's net income and cash flow outlook had some investors scratching their heads. GE has a pathway to become a regular industrial company with regular challenges, but it's not quite there yet. I'm Brooke Sutherland. For more opinion, please go to Bloomberg.com/opinion or OPINGO on the Bloomberg terminal.
This has been Bloomberg Opinion.
And Bloomberg Opinion commentaries can be heard every weekday at this time, and terminal customers can read more at OPINGO. It is 6:50 on Wall Street. Let's turn to news and science and technology now with a Bloomberg NJIT STEM report brought to you by New Jersey Institute of Technology, ranked a top 50 national public university by U.S. News and World Report, and top 10 for best career placement among public schools by the Princeton Review. More at njit.edu. Now here's what's making news in science, technology, engineering, and math. Beijing has reported 14 new COVID cases as it began a third round of mass testing of millions of people. Beijing has stepped up China's already strict pandemic response measures as it tries to quash any outbreaks ahead of the Olympics, which open in 9 days. Microsoft's new multifunction Google system for the U.S. Army shows promise, but the $22 billion program is not yet ready for combat deployment. Despite progress since the contract was awarded in 2018, the Pentagon's test office said the system has not yet demonstrated the capability to serve as a fighting Google. And Pablo Meet Crypto. Heirs of artist Pablo Picasso are vaulting into 21st century commerce by selling more than 1,000 digital art pieces of one of his ceramic works that has never before been seen publicly. The family is looking to cash in on and ride a wave of interest in so-called non-fungible tokens or NFTs, which have netted millions for far less known artists and been criticized by some as environmentally costly to get rich schemes. And that's the Bloomberg NJIT STEM report. Nathan.
Okay, Karen, thanks. We're live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. We're at 6:52 on Wall Street. Time now to check what's going on in D.C., where some of the top stories include President Biden warning of sanctions against Russian President Vladimir Putin if there's a Ukraine invasion. The House unveiling a China and chips bill, paving the way for a deal with the Senate. And a legal advisor to former President Donald Trump losing a bid to block a January 6th subpoena. Also making news just this morning, top Senate Democrats pushing the president to revive the child tax credit. Let's get more now from Bloomberg government reporter Emily Wilkins joining us from the nation's capital. So negotiations over Build Back Better continue even during the congressional recess, Emily.
Oh, yeah. I mean, this is something that certainly the White House is continuing to work on. Lawmakers are continuing to think about. And it's really the next big item on for some Democrats on their agenda. And you have a number of Democratic lawmakers who wrote to President Biden after he gave a speech the other day on the bill, where he kind of suggested that the expanded child tax credit might not be included in a final package. And these lawmakers wrote to Biden urging him to make sure that it is. They've noted that a number of families have really benefited from these payments, helped them pay rent, helped them put food on the table for their kids. They've called them kind of this really critical piece. Democrats have already, run on and talked about these child tax credits, but Manchin's concern with them is that they're just too expansive at this point. Too many families are getting the benefit. It's not as narrow as it should be.
And I see the president's economic agenda is on his own White House agenda today. He's calling a bunch of business executives to the White House today.
Yeah, General Motors, Microsoft Corp, pension giant TIAA, they're all going to be coming and they're going to be talking about that bill, the Build Back Better bill, the social policy and tax plan. And part of the idea is just to try to show that there's momentum for it within the business community and really try to urge Democrats to get this bill to a point where they can move forward with it. Of course, you know, the business leaders, they're not super huge fans of everything in the bill, namely those tax increases on corporations. But the message that we're expecting to hear from them today is that there are enough good other things in the bill that they believe that their companies will ultimately benefit from it passing.
But of course, the geopolitics has still got to be top of mind for President Biden, particularly when he was asked about it yesterday, about the possibility of sanctions against Russian President Vladimir Putin.
Yes. So Biden's, we're still not have perfect clarity about what, if any, what sanctions the U.S. and its allies would put on Russia should it invade Ukraine. But Biden said yesterday that one thing that is on the table is personally sanctioning Vladimir Putin if he offers an invasion. We've seen reporting that they could potentially put sanctions on him, on his girlfriend. Or his rather alleged girlfriend. The Kremlin spokesman said that any sanctions could be politically destructive for the signal that they would send, but said that they would not financially harm Putin, who under Russian law is banned from having foreign investment. So interesting to see how, in what ways personal sanctions might wind up impacting him.
Back on Capitol Hill, Emily, we're seeing some, I think it's safe to say, long-awaited movement from the House on a China competitiveness and chips bill.
Yeah, the Senate passed their version of this bill back in June, which is interesting because usually it's much harder to get stuff through the Senate. But in the House, you saw some disagreement among Democrats about how they should be moving forward with this legislation that's trying to design the U.S. to better compete with China. It includes $52 billion in grants and incentives for semiconductors, sort of a nod at the current chip shortage that the U.S. is facing. They're trying to sort of make this the next big thing on the House Democrats' agenda. The idea is that the House will debate this bill, and if they pass it, then they'll go to conference with the Senate and come out with legislation. The House bill doesn't look quite like the Senate bill. It is definitely more partisan. So it's a question of whether it will see much Republican support for it. And there's also some concern for progressives over this bill, saying that it would lead to more U.S.-China antagonism if it was passed.
So a lot more work to come in conference committees, it sounds like, on Capitol Hill. Bloomberg government reporter Emily Wilkins, as always, thanks for the update from the nation's capital. Read more about all these stories on Bloomberg.com or on the Bloomberg terminal, and listen to Bloomberg Radio in Washington, Bloomberg 99.1 and 105.7 FM HD2, as, of course, all eyes are going to be on the nation's capital this afternoon as the Federal Open Market Committee comes out with its January policy decision set for 2 p.m. Wall Street time, Chairman Powell's press conference at 2:30. We will have full coverage for you in a special edition of Bloomberg Surveillance that begins at 1:30 this afternoon, right here on Bloomberg Radio and on Bloomberg Television. Meantime, futures continue to surge. S&P futures are up 66 points, Dow futures up 385 points, and NASDAQ futures are higher by 303 points. The daily edition of Bloomberg Surveillance is next with Tom Keene, Jonathan Farrow, and Lisa Abramowitz. For Karen Moscow, I'm Nathan Hager. This is Bloomberg.